We're going to be in Luke chapter number 1. We're going to begin in verse number 26. Luke chapter 1, beginning in verse 26. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. Notice that he mentions virgin a couple of times here. He wants to make sure that we understand the importance of the miracle that's going to be performed. Verse 28, and the angel came in unto her, and he said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. The angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. Behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered her and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also this holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Our Father, as we think about these words and this amazing event that happened in the birth of you, Jesus, our Lord and our Savior, we know it's not your beginning, but it's the moment in time that you chose to enter into our world in that physical body and be strained with knowing that you had limitations in that body, being only one place at one time, and the ministry that you started, the physical pain that you suffered, the emotional pain that you suffered, the rejection and the hatred. It's amazing when we think about all the things, Jesus, that you came to do. We know you came to seek and save the lost, but in doing so, you literally sacrificed not just that moment on the cross, you sacrificed your entire life. 33 years given to us, your life given for us so we could be redeemed. We praise you, we exalt you. We're so thankful, Lord, for all your many blessings and your watch care over us, your provisions for us. And as we think about Christmas, we think about this nativity scene and how beautiful it is to us. We also understand the challenges that arose from the very day that you were born. Be with us today as we reflect back on who Mary is and what she accomplished and what her goals were and what her passions were. God, speak to our hearts. I know we're going to understand a lot about ourselves today as we look at the life of Mary. Forgive me of my sins and cleanse us of our unrighteousness. May you be glorified, Jesus, through this service, as you already have been. In Jesus' name, amen. Thought it's pretty fitting too. You know, Scotty, you shared with us about, you know, how we're helpless, you know, and how do we react to those situations, and seeing perhaps what it might have been for the mother of Jesus. We don't know. I mean, mother of Mary. We don't know what she faced. We don't know about her. But those questions that arise when something happens in our life, are we going to be one of those going to be quick to jump on and be faithful and embrace the truth, or are we going to be some of those that are going to question, be fearful? We're going to look into some of those things. The first thing I want to make mention of, though, when we think about Mary being the mother of Jesus, is the fact that she was favored. So that's always been a concern, isn't it? You know, we wonder, what does it really mean to be favored? Does it mean that Mary was better than every other female on the planet? No, not really. I don't look at it that way. I don't look at God necessarily playing favorites. I think it comes down to a simple a simple plan, a simple process, and this is it. If you want to be used by God, be faithful. I think that's it. I think the key to our success and our relationship with God and our usefulness for the kingdom of God is going to weigh heavily on whether we are obedient to God or not. So let's look at verse number 28 of Luke chapter 1 again. He said, the angel came to her and he said, Hail, thou that art highly favored. Now we have two different instances here, and then I believe in verse 30 that he says you're favored. And here he says you're highly favored unto God. The word favored here means to pursue with grace. That's what it means. So he's saying to her, when the angel Gabriel first appears to Mary, the first thing he wants to know is, he says, hail, hey, in other words, hey, how you doing? You're being pursued by God. God is pursuing you with his grace. So I think that could almost be a generic term for everybody. God is pursuing all of us with his grace. He's trying his best to pour his grace on us. God wants everybody to be saved. God wants everybody to be in a right relationship with him. But he's saying you're highly favored. In other words, God is taking an interest in you. There's a specific plan and a purpose for you. I'm not trying to make light of the usefulness of Mary. Don't get me wrong. But I'm trying to bring her down to the level playing field, that at the foot of the cross, you know what? It's level. Amen. The foot of the cross, it's level. It's just each of us will be given opportunities, and God will speak their hearts and guide us to do specific things in regard to his kingdom. But the fundamentals and the basic relationship with God is this. We're all saved by the same blood. We're all pursued by that same beautiful grace. And we all have, he's an equal opportunity employer, God is. He's going to give us plenty of opportunities to serve him. It's just whether we're going to have a heart to want to believe in those and want to follow those and jump on what God's trying to do. So in this passage, we see favored being pursued with grace. When we look in verse number 30, and he says it again, he said, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. He's trying to calm her down a little bit. This favored means loving kindness. So he's saying, Fear not, Mary, thou hast found loving kindness with God. So what is it that made Mary above, you know, literally she had to be chosen among all the young Jewish girls that were there when Christ was born. Why her and not somebody else? I really don't understand completely the sovereignty of God. Do you? If you do, then you're probably God. We don't understand the sovereignty of God, so we got to just have, we got to have a part of us that just says, I don't really get all of it, but God had a reason for choosing Mary. God had a reason for choosing Joseph. God had a reason for doing what he's doing. But at the same token, I believe she was very faithful. Mary was not perfect, by no means, but Mary was probably as close to perfection as she could be at the moment that the angel came to her. I believe that. I believe that she was trying to live as godly a life as she could live. I believe that she was striving for holiness and striving for righteousness and not religion. I believe that she was sincere. And for the angel Gabriel to come to her and say, you're highly favored. In other words, God's pursuing you with his grace, and God's loving kindness is here, and God wants to bless you. God wants to do great things in your life. That to some degree, she had to be chosen because of the fact that she had a heart for God. Why do we think that David was chosen to be king after Saul? It said, David was a man after God's own heart. That's saying a lot, isn't it? So it's not the fact that David was so much better than everybody else. You know, it's kind of like I've even said it before, and you probably have heard it said. Somebody's really good at speaking to crowds and pretty eloquent of speech, or somebody that can be charismatic. Folks would say, well, it wouldn't surprise me if that old boy got called to preach, because we're looking on the outside at what we think he can do. That's not always the case. That's not always going to put you in a position of being able to speak for God on that behalf and in a pulpit. No, God looks deeper. What changed or what caused him to choose Mary as opposed to anybody else was where her heart was. And I believe her heart was completely and totally for God. David had a heart just like God. I believe that's why David was chosen. There was a lot of little shepherd boys that were out there that were good kids. David was chosen, selected by the sovereignty of God, and David definitely had a heart for God. Abraham believed God, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. So what does that make Abraham different? He was a Gentile that God selected and said, I'm going to start a nation out of you. I'm not even going to start it while you're a young man and you and your wife are of average age to start having children. I'm going to wait and I'm going to make it such a gap in your age from when you should be having kids. It's going to be a miracle. People are going to know that I'm starting a nation out of you, and I'm going to bless you. And it said he believed God, and it was counted him to righteousness. Abraham was a good man. He was probably good in his community. He had a lot of wealth. We could say a lot of things could cause him to be selected by God. God selected him to be the father of this great nation because he believed God. That's the difference. We can have a lot of things we think that we can offer to God, but you know what God really wants? Faithfulness. That's it. That's the key. God is looking for faithfulness. This favor, this pursuing, and this loving kindness that God wants to pour out of us, this opportunity that God wants to give us is going to be found as we continue to be faithful and obedient to God. Now, when we think about favor, what's the very next thing that comes across your mind? Well, it may not be the same thing that comes across my mind, but what comes across my mind when I think about the favor is fear. Do you have fear? I think we all have certain things that we're afraid of. But while I was even just sitting down here and listening to the monologue and just thinking and trying to pray and get my heart right, get my head right, get prepared for, you know, to come up here, you would think, well, goodness, you'd think you'd prepare before right now. I do, but I'm still a nervous wreck at times sitting down here. I just want to make sure that whatever comes out is not anything from me, but it's from God and it's his message. And when he's done, I just need to shut up and sit down. I want to obey him the best that I can. And so fear is one of the biggest problems that I face in my life. Let's read verse number 29 and 30. When she saw him, now let's try to, I know it's hard, but try to envision, you're this young girl, you're a spouse, what are your thoughts of, right, but you know, 6 months before you get married, ladies, what are your thoughts? Your mind is just a blur of different thoughts and ideas and things and plans. And, you know, we got to get this ready, got to get that ready. And you're thinking about the wedding day. You're thinking about the honeymoon. You're thinking about your life together. You're thinking about children. All these kind of things are kind of rolling in your mind. So, listen, young Mary was no different. She's no different than any young couple that's a few months away from getting married. She was excited and looking forward to this event. So then all of a sudden, here we have an angel that shows up, and he says, hey, you've been highly favored by God. And so first, that's going to hit us, and here's what happens. It said, she cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. The first thing is, as soon as she heard the salutation, she thought, what in the world is this about? She had no idea. It goes on that she said, the angel said unto her, then fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. First, put ourselves in the shoes of Mary, and the angel shows up. It's almost like, what are you setting me up for? If somebody comes to you and the first thing they do is start bragging on you, what do? You're very cautious about what they're wanting. Amen? Hey, how you doing? Oh, you look great. Hey, things going okay. If somebody meets you and the first thing they do is start buttering you up, it drilled in our brains to be cautious. They want something and it's going to cost me something. So Mary's no different. Mary's human. But then the angel said, listen, God's got a plan for you. You're favored. God's pursuing you. God's got some loving kindness. He's wanting to pour out on you. God's got some good stuff coming in. So he said, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Fear in this passage means scare away. He's saying, Mary, I don't want to scare you away. I don't want to scare you away, Mary. I don't want you to run. Don't run. Hey, don't run off. Let me finish sharing with you what God's talking about here. There's something important coming up here. So I identify with fear. I identify with fear. God can speak to me and he can tell me that he loves me and he can his spirit can relate that love. But then as soon as God starts speaking about a plan, about something he has in store for me, an opportunity that he has for me, immediately fear kicks in. That's one of the biggest problems I deal with as a Christian. And most of you already know that I suffer from anxiety. So what is anxiety? Anxiety is unjustified fear. That's what it is. Anxiety is fear. So Satan knows that. And he knows that if he can get me afraid, if one of his little devils can whisper in my ear at moments when I'm vulnerable, that I'm going to hear what God's telling me that God has in store for me. I'm going to hear the plan that God has for me. But then I'm also going to hear, you're not able to do that. You're not capable of doing that. You don't have the talents to do that or the ability to do that. You're going to, and this is a big one. You're just going to get up there and embarrass yourself because you're going to look like a fool. I probably heard that 75% of the time before I step up here to preach. You're just going to look like a fool. You're going to look like an idiot. You're going to say something wrong. You're going to say something that's unscriptural. If Satan can get us to be afraid, he has won. He's won. I don't know what it is that causes you to fear. You may not suffer from anxiety. You may not suffer from depression. You may not have anything going on in your life that causes you to naturally be fearful. But there are those things that Satan can whisper in your ear that can cause you to step back for just a minute. Okay, let's give her the benefit of the doubt because she did end up doing the right thing. Said she cast in her mind when the salutation came, right? She cast in her mind. What does that mean? That means that she took a moment before she spoke and she paused and she tried to digest what the angel had said. There is absolutely nothing wrong with us being fearful at the moment God speaks to us. That, my friend, I believe is human. It's human for us because we're not so used to the Lord speaking to us. We're not as accustomed, we should be, but we're not as accustomed to the Spirit moving us and doing these things regularly in our lives. So when God speaks a thought or an idea to me, woo, I'll go, woo, okay. When he hits you with something good, something big in your life, it's natural because we're human to be fearful. But we cannot let that cause us to be disobedient to him, because that becomes sin when we're disobedient to the leadership that God's given us. So fear is something that it's naturally going to be a part of our life. Fear is going to be a natural part of our life. We know that we're going to be fearful at times. The question is this: what do we do with fear? How do you deal with fear? When God speaks, are we going to be concerned and cast in our mind what this is all about? Take a moment to process. And then after that moment, are we willing to step up and be obedient to what it is that God's given us to do? Because that was the challenge for Mary. Challenge for us every day. We're not going to be able to be the parents of Jesus. There was only two that got selected to do that. But we are going to be a part of great things for God, and he's going to speak to us through the power of his Holy Spirit, and then we've got to choose, am I going to let what has been spoken to me, the whispers from Satan, cause me to be fearful, that I will reject the plan God has for me and sin against God, or am I going to choose to do what's next? Luke 1 and 38, Mary said, "Behold the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." And the angel departed from her. I mean, bottom line, she said, this is it. I am all in. He said, what's going to happen to you is going to be of the Holy Spirit. You're going to become pregnant. You're going to conceive a child. The child's going to be born. His name's going to be Jesus. You're not going to just go back, you know, 6-7 months pregnant. Well, I'm not so sure I'm the one to do this. It's a little bit late. Mary had to decide that moment, am I all in what God's telling me he wants to do in and through my life? Am I all in on that? Mary had to choose. And she completely surrendered to the will of God. Another passage of scripture that Jesus, when he was talking to his disciples and he was sending them out, he wanted them to go out. And I think this was a training exercise for the guys. He said, I want you guys to go out. You know, I want you to go out. You're going to heal the sick. You're going to go to different cities. I want you to go out two by two, and you're going to minister to folks. And if you go into a town that rejects you, kick the dust off your shoes, go to the next town. But listen to the passage of Scripture, Luke 9, beginning in 1. Then he called the 12 disciples together, and he gave them power. Remember that. Power is not theirs. He gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. And he said unto them, here's what he said. I think it's interesting. Take nothing for your journey. Nothing. I mean, I don't know how many days they were actually out, but he said, take no journey, nothing for your journey. No staves, nor script, neither bread, nor money, neither have two coats apiece. Don't even take an extra coat. Don't take an extra pair of shoes. Don't take a backpack full of snacks. A lot of us are out when he says that. Amen. You mean I'm going to have to let somebody else provide the snacks for me? Yes. No goodie bag. God said, just, I want you to go. And here's the thing about Jesus. He physically did not go with them. Did you notice that? He sent them out two by two. And he said, I'm going to send you out, but I'm sending my power with you. You're going to be able to heal the sick. You're going to speak against devils, and they're going to have to answer to you and respond to whatever you tell them to do. Don't take any provisions whatsoever. It's pretty much like you get up, you know, and you splash a little water in your face, put on the sandals, and hit the road. That's how he told them to get out of there and go. Don't take anything. Be completely and totally dependent on me to care for you while you're out and while you're on this journey. In other words, he's saying, completely surrender to me. That's what he's asking them to do. I think that's what he's asking us to do. He asked Mary to do that. Mary, are you in? Mary, are you all in on this? Mary said, whatever your word says, I'm the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be to me whatever it is that you want to do in my life. And you know something else that we sometimes forget about is that when he spoke to Mary, Mary didn't even go ask Joseph's opinion. Now, I'm not saying we don't need to take counsel within our homes. I'm not saying that. Matter of fact, we need to have that communication. And those of you that have been in marriage counseling with me, you know, I remind you, we don't need to just communicate, but we need to what? We need to communicate well. We talk about communicating well with each other. So, but this was an event where the angel came to her, and she knew that it was of God. She had no doubts whatsoever that heaven was speaking, and she immediately, regardless of any external input, surrendered and said, I am your handmaid, be it unto me according to your word, Lord. I'll do whatever you tell me to do. I am locked in, and I am sold out. Wow. The obstacles that she's going to face and the challenges that she's going to face, not even talking to Joseph yet. How willing are we to say, I am completely sold out to your plan, God? Because you know what? God's plan for you may challenge your relationship with some people even in your family. You know what? God wants unity within the home. He wants unity within a husband and a wife. parents. And God will give all that's needed for those to know what to do. But at the same time, there is a challenge for us to surrender that obedience. Are you willing to say, I commit completely and totally to what you're telling me to do, God, regardless of the input I may get from those, even within my own family, that may oppose the plan, God, that you have for me? Are we willing to be completely surrendered to God? If we are, then here's what happens. Luke 1:37. That was a verse of the day today, too. For with God nothing shall be impossible. I mean, if you like to highlight and you like to circle and you like to box in stuff, mark all over that nothing. Mark it, highlight it, nothing. Nothing's going to be impossible with God. Luke chapter 2 and verse 7. She brought forth her firstborn son, and she wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and she laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Yes, God did God, and he did it very well, I might say. Because God did exactly what he said he was going to do. Mary, you're going to give birth to the Christ child. His name is going to be called Jesus. He's going to sit on the throne of David, his father. He's going to rule and reign, and he is going to be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. His name is going to be Jesus. Everything God said through the angel Gabriel came true, and it was exactly the way he said it was going to be. Every prophetic word about Jesus was fulfilled in the life of Jesus, except those things that we're yet waiting for Jesus to do in the end time of the millennial kingdom. Wow. She surrendered completely to the Lord. And you know what happened? When she did that, when she chose to surrender, her hardest work was done. You ever think of that? We think a lot of times that because when God speaks to us or leads us, oh boy, the work's really beginning for me. No, it's really not. The hardest part about God dealing with us is getting us to just believe him. Do you remember the miracle when Elisha was there with all the soldiers and they had their horses and they were all exhausted and tired and thirsty and needed water. They didn't have any. They're preparing for battle the next day. And so the prophet of God said, let me pray about it for just a moment. And then he came back with a prophetic word from God. And he said, God told me to tell y'all to dig ditches and holes and just make spots because God's just going to make water just appear. It's not going to be rain. You're not going to hear any thunder, not going to see any lightning. There's not going to be any rain come down. But God is just going to fill up every hole and ditch that you dig with water. What an amazing miracle. So they got up the next morning. Everybody that had done it and been obedient, the water was in all those holes and ditches. And the beautiful part about that miracle, it's pretty awesome to think God made water out of nothing. But to me, he was asked about it. The prophet was asked about it, the miracle being such an amazing miracle. He said, this was but a light thing for God. Are you kidding me? Have you ever made water out of nothing? Absolutely. We can't do it. We don't do miracles. We've never done them, and we're never going to do miracles. God does miracles. But the miracle of making water appear in those ditches, the prophet said this was a light thing for God. In other words, this was easy peasy, Mac and cheesy. Got to work food in somehow, every service. But, so what was the hard part about it? Here's the hard part. The hard part's getting the people to believe to dig the ditches. We think that if we surrender to the will of God, then it begins a journey of, oh, I don't even know how. No, listen. If we completely surrender to the will of God in whatever area it is of our life that he's calling us to surrender to, then God does God, and we just basically stand back and watch. You know what happens is when we sign up, we get a front row seat to watch God work. Don't think that your hardships are going to be so much greater than you can ever bear. Oh, for me to do this, it's going to cost me so much. No. No, quit trying to play that card. When we surrender to him, we're going to be blessed beyond belief at the working hand of God. We're going to see God do God at his finest moments. Yeah, I know what you're thinking. Well, she had to carry that child. She had to give birth to that child. I've never given birth to a child. I can imagine it's not a very pleasant thing. But at the same time, I got to believe this, that the blessings and all that she received from God, ladies, be careful, I'm outweighed the pain and hardships she went through carrying Jesus. So anytime we surrender to God, his blessings are always going to abundantly outweigh any hardship we may suffer when we say we're going to commit. Mary, simply, she was an obedient young lady that said, I'm just going to do whatever you tell me to do, the best of my ability. And the Lord just did amazing things through her life. That's simply what he wants to do for you and I. Today, you got to choose. Am I going to surrender? Am I committing myself completely? Now, this partial obedience thing don't work very well. God don't like it. He wants you all in or all out. The lukewarm, what does he do? Spews them out of his mouth, makes him sick. God wants you to be sold out to him completely and totally in your life. In doing that, he will bless you and he will bless everybody else around you. It's amazing what God will do when we choose to say we're giving ourselves up to God. Stand with me as we begin our invitation prayer. Our Father, as we come to you again this morning, we're so thankful for this testimony of Mary, the experiences that she went through, how quick she was, even though we can be fearful and worry about the challenges that we're going to face, worry God about what we may have to give up or what we may have to sacrifice, but she quickly responded, I'm just the handmaid of the Lord, be it so according to your word. Wow. For us to be able to have such commitment in our walk with you. I pray that we can. I pray, God, that we'll have the same words on our heart as well. God, whatever you want to do in my life, I'm here and I surrender totally and completely. If there's anyone here in the sound of our voice that's not saved and doesn't know you as Lord and Savior, today we pray, God, for them to meet you. Yeah, you were born. You were in that manger. You had a purpose. You had a purpose to die on a cross for our sins that we can be forgiven. All of us, all of mankind can be forgiven by that precious gift of your blood that was shed for us. Pray, God, that you speak to hearts today. Challenge us, convict us, bring to our hearts what we need to be in a right relationship with you. Have your way in Jesus' name. Amen.